Hi, welcome to A Double-Sided Story. I'm Lilia.
I'm Eleanor. And woo! This is our show.
Yay.
The intro is messy. I think that's just going to be a thing with us.
Great.
Okay, so welcome back. This is our September episode. We've been in college for a month now. And
terrifying.
Yeah, a little bit. Welcome back.
Okay, before we get into our topic for today, it's a great one. You're going to love it. Quick rapid-fire life updates. Yay, college. I am a model for a magazine, and I have a job now. The exciting things happening in my life.
You just wanted to do the rapid-fire thing so you can say the model thing.
I'm so excited!
You want to explain the job real quick?
It's a fashion magazine on campus, and they're doing a fantasy, like, very ethereal elf kind of vibe shoot. And
so she fits perfectly.
I'm really excited. No, they were like, this is our theme, and I was like, I have elf ears, and they were like, perfect. And I was like, great. I'm winning.
Awesome.
I knew it was worth bringing my elf ears to college. Also, the job, I work at a theater now. I'm really excited. Life's good. Yay! Jazz hands. How about you? What are you doing?
I mean, I just got home, like, I visited my house, my hometown, this weekend, and I got back on Sunday. It was only, like, 2 days, but it was really nice. I'm recording this between classes, and it's kind of hot in my dorm. That is my life updates. There's nothing cool like becoming a model in there, but I went to Topgolf and sucked.
Wait, Topgolf sucked or you did?
I did. Topgolf was super fun, but I did not do very well.
It's okay. You just need a strong man to teach. Here, let me show you.
Actually, my dad did help me, and that's when I started doing better.
Before we get into the topic, I do want to say I greatly apologize if you can hear any noise. There is I think, field hockey practice to my right, but this is still one of the quietest places on campus because I am on a very outdoorsy campus. And so there's no quiet places.
That's the thing about the city, I guess. I got the mountains, so stay safe.
It is a very campus feel campus, but it's small enough. And today it's like 70 degrees outside, so it's lovely.
It's
like
beautiful out too.
Sunny.
It's beautiful out here too. Anyways, you want to give them an intro to our topic? It's a great one. Fits both of us.
I'm also outside, in case you can't tell by the birds. Anyway, our topic today, writing, she says with jazz hands that the viewers cannot see.
Oh my god, you've been really into jazz hands lately.
I have been doing jazz hands so much. It's because I jingle now. I have so many bracelets that I just jingle if I do jazz hands.
Nice. I don't know how we didn't do this topic sooner, because this is something that is very relevant to both of us. But we're doing it now, so that's what matters.
Okay, so what exactly about writing are we talking about?
We didn't get into it that far. Well, we could talk about what kind of writing is your favorite to do? Like prose, poetry?
Playwriting.
Oh, yeah, you do love that. I actually was in one of Lilia's plays at the end of high school. Kind of messed up. I still beat myself up for that, but we tried our best.
I don't even remember you messing up, bestie.
I totally skipped over a line. Luckily, our friend, my co-star, came through and kind of scooped me up and helped me, but still. Anyways, playwriting, what sort of plays?
A lot of, like, all fantasy. I'm gonna be so real. I have one that is, like, almost realistic fiction. Like, I purposely wrote it in a more realistic fiction style, but it is still technically fantasy because there's one pseudo-supernatural element. It's hard to explain. That one has, like, it's a character who she gets a concussion, and when she gets a concussion, her brain becomes, like, a separate person almost. And so that one's, it's very much about mental illness and, like, the struggles with that. And so it's, like, she exists as her own person, and then her mental illness is kind of the person she's talking to, but it's, like, it's only halfway through the play that it's even revealed that that's who that is. So, spoiler alert.
It sounds pretty similar to one I read a few months ago by you, with the tree.
Oh, no, that is what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Wow, yeah. So you're just developing it further.
That one, and then we got the super secret one that I will not share about because one of our dear listeners who has not been listening recently, she and I, about a year ago, came up with a story. I'm still working on it. It is, like, a full-length play, which is not very common for me. Most of mine are, like, shorter, 10, 20, 30 minutes. But it is a full-length play.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And it is gruesome. Good Lord.
Sad gruesome or, like, violent gruesome?
Yes. All okay. of the above.
So is it also fantasy?
Very much. Fantasy, cyberpunk kind of vibes.
Oh, nice.
I'm really excited for that. Recently, most recently, I've actually been writing nonfiction kind of writing to cope with some mental things. So
that sounds nice. Well, no, but it's a good way of processing that stuff, you know? That's what I've been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
Girl, are you wrestling that bird?
I'm under a tree. I live on an arboretum.
It's angry.
It's a crow. I go outside, crows appear. It just kind of happens. Crows don't leave me alone. They know I like them, and so they like me. Also, I have very shiny bracelets on. That might be another issue.
Anyways, back to the plays. I actually have heard about the full-length one that you were just describing. I haven't heard anything actually about it, because you won't tell me, but I don't really know why. And
my friend and I, who we came up with it, we both kind of decided to keep it secret because we didn't want anyone's input on it.
That's really funny because now I've figured out who that listener is, and I know who you are, and you have successfully kept this very secret.
I know. It's like, it's insane how we managed to do that because, like,
it's very impressive. It's very impressive. Bravo. Do you want to put it on or do you just want to share it one day?
God, I'd love to see it put on, but it is, when I say gruesome, like, you know, there's a lot to this play from the, like, I think about the costuming, the cast even, it's a large cast for a play, or at least for the kind of plays I write. I tend to write very small casts, very, like, individualized scenes, but it's a larger cast than I normally write, and the one thing that trips me up is the set, because the set is so important. It's like, I love to do minimal sets most of the time in most of my writing, but there is one very key element that is needed for this that I would need a decent budget to be able to put it on someday.
Mysterious, ambiguous, sexy.
Well, okay, if we ever finish this, like, I will happily share it. We need to finish it first.
Oh, I'm just curious. What is your structure as far as doing it together?
She's the idea man. I write it, basically, at this point.
That's sort of what I figured. Just because,
like, she goes
hard,
back and edits it.
It is hard to write something with someone where you're, like, actually both writing it, unless you go, like, scene by scene or chapter by chapter, and that kind of needs to have some sort of difference between who writes what chapter, unless you are literally, like, artistically exactly the same.
Yeah.
Because the difference would be noticeable.
Two of our friends who wrote a play together that was actually put on our sophomore year of high school, they do have very similar, like, artistic styles, so they actually did manage to go basically line by line, like, writing a play, because that's just who they are, and then I went through and edited behind them because they wanted someone to do that, and then me and the person who were me in this play, I had the very, very basic skeleton idea. She helped me beef it up to a full plot, because I really had, like, a vague idea, like, a couple images in my head. She helped me beef it up to a full plot, and then I'm writing it, and then occasionally I'll text her and be like, hey, go back and check that, and then she will. Sometimes.
Like, the person you're writing the secret play with?
Yes. if she remembers to check it. I've checked her letter 5 times in the last, like, 2 weeks.
Shade button. She's your artistic partner. Maybe a little conflict will be good for the story.
Yeah.
That could be... It happened with lots of, like, musical things. Like, Elton John and Bernie Taupin had a fight. U2 had a huge fight, and that made Octoon Baby, which is one of the best albums ever, IMO. Anyway, sorry, I got distracted.
Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, lots of musical acts had fallouts, and I'm sure, I don't know literature as well, but I'm sure that has happened before.
Oh, without a doubt. No, we don't really have conflict. What it is we're in college now, which means, like, there is a little more managing your own schedule. You can make your own time for stuff like that you want to do.
Doing that right now.
Yeah. She, however, is a junior in high school, so...
Yeah, she's overgrown. That's a hard year.
Yeah. Like, I'm not actually... If she actually listens to this, I promise I'm not actually pushing you or mad or anything, but you should check the Google Doc, because you haven't, and you should.
So, would you say that, like, all of the plays or, like, narrative stuff you write is fantasy? Or have you ever dabbled in other stuff? Like, I know you just said nonfiction, but I'm talking about narratives.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Like, it's okay to have a niche. I'm not...
I was going to say, in my recent writing, it has all been fantasy. I used to write a lot of, like, realistic fiction type things for a while, like... middle school, early high school, but in the recent years, as I've really developed as a writer and gotten more into writing, it has really just stuck pretty firmly in fantasy land.
I think we can't really have this conversation without noting two plays that I wrote, two very important plays, one of which has already been addressed in our Tales of the Theater episode from, like, 2 years ago, but you're gonna know what the other one is. It's a short film.
Oscar bait.
Yes, it is. It's Oscar bait. That one has sort of been a reference between the two of us since I wrote it. And it's...
Believe in the Sheep.
Yes, Believe in the Sheep. It's a very silly... It's not a play. It's sort of staged like a short film. It's called Oscar bait because y'all know about those movies that were obviously made just so they can win an Oscar. Like, the concept around them. And... so I basically parodied one of those with a story of a girl who has gone mute because she's sad about she doesn't have access to Krispy Kreme. And
she's also lactose intolerant.
Yes, she's lactose intolerant as well. It's a very sad story. It's about the surgery she has to get to fix her lactose intolerance. That she's helped by this much older woman to find. And there's a medium-sized sheep named Bleevin, who sort of inspired the entire story. He actually does talk. Most of his lines are just him saying Bleevin. And then he randomly has one paragraph in the middle where he just talks and talks. Sorry, I'm laughing at my own joke. I don't even care.
No, it is so valid. This is very funny. It is the kind, it is a little bit like absurdist humor, but it is wonderful. It brings much joy.
Yeah, I'm actually legitimately proud of it because I went back and read it like a week ago and I'm like, damn, I'm kind of funny. So I don't really dabble in plays that much. I do like writing them, but I would like to get a little more into writing plays just because sometimes with novel style works, it gets really annoying with the descriptions required, especially if you're like writing a scene that has more than one person or more than two people of differing genders, like differing pronouns, then that gets really annoying because you just have to say their names a lot. And in plays, you don't have to do that. That's one thing that I've always loved about plays because I hate that.
Yeah, no, I get that. The one thing I miss with plays, though, is the use of imagery and words, because I am the kind of person who, like, I love to find art in language, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But it's, like, one of my favorites, I have a tendency, if I am writing, if I am writing, like, stories, like, straight stories, not plays, prose, that's what they're called, I have a tendency to actually minimize dialogue. It's very strange. But because of that, I'm not a fan of dialogue. I find it to get very clunky.
So yeah, because you don't want to say said over and over.
Yeah. I will write, like, paragraphs upon paragraphs with no dialogue, and I go into... I used to have, like, a name for it. Like, it was, like, a very specific voice I'll sometimes use while writing that is very, like, philosophical, contemplative kind of thing. It's hard to explain. It's not exactly, like, I mean, it's third person, but it's, like, almost as if it's, like, a third person observer, like, considering what they're watching as opposed to, like, just narrating what's happening, almost.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds a little weird, it's a little hard to explain, but you read it and you can, like, pinpoint exactly what it is. And yeah, that did make me remember, junior year, I did a project where I wrote my LEAP project, because I think all of our listeners know what that is. If you don't, it's basically a school project you're required to do. It's
like a personal project. It can kind of be whatever you want it to be, as long as it's school appropriate.
And you have to, like, kind of justify it, like, I'm learning something, or, like, I learned a new skill, like, it, you know, a little bit, but it, you know, being a writer, I always would use it as an excuse to write. I know you did the same.
Yeah, this year.
But, yeah, but I did, like, a project where I wrote 5 different genres, like, short stories, and so, yeah, I have some realistic fiction and whatnot there. But, yeah, anyway, no, I totally get what you mean about the dialogue. It's dumb. Continue talking about things you've written, because we've talked too much about mine.
I'm not even, like, just referring to dialogue. Like, even if you're just describing what's happening, it gets really annoying, because you can't, if any people, characters, share the same pronouns, you just have to say the name. Otherwise, it gets really confusing, and I don't like that at all. But I would say the type of writing that I do the most is poetry. There is a really wide range of what I write, especially as far as poetry goes. Actually, in everything I write, there is a wide range of tones and topics and level of depressingness, as you know very well. That being said, about the poetry, I am writing a novel right now. I say that. I haven't edited it in, like, 2 weeks, but it's okay. I'm trying.
It happens.
It's arranged in 4 parts, this novel. Parts 1 and 3 are done. I'm working on part 2 right now, but finding the motivation for it, especially since this one, rather than part 1 and 3, and probably 4 will be, part 2 is much more from the ground up that I have to build the story. And that is hard, and the story is pretty emotionally draining, but it's been fun. I've been working on it for, like, 9-10 months now.
See, and you talk about not knowing what I'm writing. I don't know what this story is. Like, at all.
I haven't told you anything?
No, you've never told me anything about this. I think you mentioned Greece once.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, not even the Greece thing. It's honestly not a very happy story. So one thing about me is I absolutely use writing as my main form of expressing my emotions. Because of this, I don't share my writing a lot, because a lot of my writing is very personal. And Lillian knows, like, a lot of times people I know forget I'm a writer, because it's just not something I, you know, share with people or even really talk about, even though I have been doing that more lately. Mainly because I love telling people I'm writing a novel.
Says that after winning the book award from Hollins.
I share a lot of stuff with that teacher, my favorite teacher. And
I miss her so much.
Me too. I'm also, for my LEAP project back in February, I wrote a poem a day, every single day of February, and that was really good for me, both as a writer and emotionally. Like, I think getting to stretch my writing muscles every day made me a better writer in 4 weeks. And I just noticed with what I added to my novel after the end of that project, everything got better. Like, part three is dramatically better than part one. Actually, part three is one of my favorite things I've ever written. I'm doing another poem a day project for September, and I have kept up with it pretty well. I've sucked at getting it done before midnight, but I told you this, I extended it to 2 a.m. because I've been up so late lately. So technically I have done one a day, just the midnight thing's been negotiable. Those have been pretty good. I actually sent you one yesterday that I think is really good.
It is. Sorry, I know I was like a little... I feel like I was like doing something at the same time you were sending it to
you
me.
You were.
I think I was in class. I was definitely in class. Yeah, I didn't actually get like say this as much over text, but it was really good.
Thank you. But I can give you a little rundown of my novel. Because again, there's a lot of like, I don't know, stuff that you find out within the novel as it goes, but is kind of essential to the plot. So yeah. The entire thing is one big metaphor, and I'm not going to say what it is and like what it is a metaphor for. It's about three friends who have been friends for a long time at the start of the novel, like 7-8 years, and they go on a trip to Greece. And these friends, upon arriving at Greece, feel sort of different, like a stronger connection with each other than they did before. And none of them are very good with intimacy, and they have no idea how to handle it, and it gets dramatic. And then that's part one, is the actual events of the trip. Parts 2, 3, and 4 are sort of centered around each of the three characters. So part one's one of them, part two is one of them, part three is another, part four is the last one. And that sort of follows them up throughout the next 10 or so years in the aftermath of the trip. I think that's a pretty good rundown.
Yeah.
But I'm in love with it. It's my pride and joy. I really want to write. I just keep not having motivation. Like, I started writing part three in March or April. And I wrote a lot during the school year. And then through the summer, I did not write much at all. But then in like the last 2 weeks before I moved into college, I got this huge rush of motivation. I was writing like 2,000-3,000 words a day. And I finished part three in maybe 4 days.
Wow.
And part three is actually longer than part one, which is crazy. Because part one took me almost, like, 3 months. Like, I think it took firmly 3 months. I don't know how long it's going to be. Let me just say that. Right now, it is about 130 pages. But I still have most of part two and all of part four to write. And an epilogue. So
what's the word count on it?
I think it's 43 or 4K.
So I was reading a guide for, like, how long a novel should be based on genre, like what the like industry standard is, easier for publishing, whatnot.
I think my genre was it's realistic fiction, I guess. Oh, a drama. God. But I don't see people using that word for books that much. I'd call it a drama though. The thing is, I have shared parts one and three with one person, and he thoroughly enjoyed it. He thought it was really good. I don't know, when that was motivating me. So I think letting one person read it is good for motivation. But I only let him read it by the time the parts were done. I think I don't have a date I want it to be done by, because if I set like a due date for myself, it's not going to be as good.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just waiting for another rush of motivation so I can actually get some real work on part two, but it hasn't been there lately. Like, the time I edited it 2 weeks ago, I think I had just forced myself to sit down and write 1,000 words, which, yes, there's something to be said about that, but I can't do that every time because it'll just drop in quality.
Yeah. was gonna say, there's something to be said for, like, doing, like, writing warm-ups just to, like, try to get yourself back in the mind of writing. And I say warm-ups, just, like, you know, sit at a page
stretching
and
your legs.
Trying to write. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that's awesome. Kind of what part of, it's also just serving to process my emotions. That's kind of what the Poem a Day project is, trying to get myself to do that. Like, I'm trying to spark motivation. And honestly, how good yesterday's Poem a Day poem was, it kind of did something.
Yeah.
Like, I think I might be able to, after class today, actually get some real shit down in that. My novel is, it started as something that I'm like, this is going to be a short story. This is going to be like 10K, maybe. And then over the course of that, I developed the characters and fell in love with the characters and realized the story needed more on it, or not needed, but like it would be even better if I slapped more on it. So then I was like, okay, I need a part two. Then as I was writing part two, which became part three, I realized there should probably be something in between focused on another character. And then I thought, especially with how long I was planning on part three to being, the third character needs something, so it's going to have a part four. And now I have like an official novel length thing on my hands that is nowhere near done.
For the record, I did look up the guide.
It's
for general, like, contemporary and literary fiction, it's 70 to 100,000 words. 70,000, in case that wasn't clear. Don't write a 70-word novel. That is a shitty novel.
Yeah, that's not a novel. That's a freaking blurb.
It's not even a paragraph.
Yeah, no, it's not. I don't know. I see different things with that all the time. Like, the most common numbers I've seen are 40 and 50,000, but those might be general for, like, all novels. And I know publishing companies don't pick up ones as short as 40,000 or 50,000.
Yeah. This guide is, like, it's by a place that's, like, they advertise a lot of, like, self-publishing or, like, how to, like, start with publishing kind of thing. And so it's a guide that's supposed to be, like, what publishers are more likely to take for your first time.
I don't really know if I'm planning on publishing it or not. Honestly, the reason I'm so focused on the word thing is because I want to be able to say I wrote a novel.
Yeah, that's so fair.
But if I were to publish it, it would probably be anonymously, just because, again, it is pretty personal, and there's some stuff in it that, I don't know, it's just, again, my writing is personal. Like, if there's one thing you can take away about my writing from this conversation, it's that it's personal. I feel like it shows, because you haven't seen a lot of my writing.
Yeah.
You didn't even know what the novel was about. And that's my bad. I should have given you that rundown a little earlier. Because I sit myself down to edit, and then I just get, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna reread the last things I wrote before I start editing. And then I just get stuck rereading the whole thing. I don't know. I guess it's sort of a brag, because I'm like, I get lost in my own writing. Poetry. That novel, that's basically been me, but a lot of poetry.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually about to ask you if you were going to planning on publishing, so it's funny that you mention it.
One of my dad's, like, close friends self-published a book, and it's dedicated to me and my brother.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Carry on.
You know what is just so upsetting to me right now? The writer's strike. Please note I don't say this and that I don't like the writer's strike. I do support the writers.
Okay.
However, as someone who does, like, currently have a way to self-publish and would like to be self-publishing, I'm obviously not. You know, I realize I am not, like, you know, part of the writer's union or anything, and so it doesn't really technically matter what I do, but I'm also, like, even if I did publish something right now, it's not like I would have the normal play competitions to submit to. That's, like, that's what I would have been doing if it wasn't for the strike, like, publish and then start submitting to some competitions to start seeing if I can get my name out there at all, see what I can do. However, that's not super happening right now.
They have, like, short play competitions?
A ton of them.
Okay.
Normally. The only thing I can find right now is called Stage Right Theater for Good American Home Values.
That's funny. Because that sounds exactly like you.
I was going to say, I don't think I've written a play that doesn't have at least one queer character. They'll enjoy that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. In my novel, everybody is queer. And it's, well, let me just clarify. In my novel, it's not really something that is discussed. Like, I think it's addressed maybe twice quickly in the entirety of what I've written so far. It's just, like, a thing. Whether someone is into a man or a woman is not really relevant. Like, the sex of the person they're interested in is not something that is very relevant to the story.
Yeah. No, I completely get that. Like, even when I'm writing, like, romance and stuff, I make it a point to not have any, like, we're gonna have a moment to talk about this. Like, it's just, it's accepted. It's like, you know, I have my short play that I wrote where it's a comedy. The Grim Reaper and a Thief. I know you've heard it.
Yeah.
It starts with them just kind of flirting with each other. The Grim Reaper and the Thief are both women because I like women. And then it starts with both of them just kind of flirting with each other. There's never a point where it's like, well, I don't even know if you like... It's assumed. It's assumed. Because, like, unless there's, like, a point for it, like, you know, I do write a lot of stuff with, like, you know, like, any dark stuff, you know, stuff with, like, parent issues, stuff with friends, like, social issues, and so if I find it's necessary as a plot point for that, I'll add it, but never is just, like, a, we need to have a coming out scene before we can have a gay character,
because that's yeah, exactly, dumb. It's just something that happens, and I'm talking, like, the two times in my novel it is addressed, one of them is just literally one line of dialogue, the other is maybe... six lines of dialogue where, yeah, it's just not a big thing. Oh, another thing is, because you were talking about how you don't really like writing men. Not on here, but like you've told me about that too. I, in my novel, two of my three main characters are men, and whenever I have to write a conversation between them, I'm like, what do I do? Because I'm a woman who has had conversations with women. Shocker. I am a woman who has had conversations with men. Scandalous. I have never been a man who had conversations with men. And that's why I'm very lucky to have, like, one of my closest friends is a dude. Actually, several of my closest friends are dudes. It's like, I will definitely hit him up with, like, how would you handle this as a guy? And no, it's very useful to have that.
There is a different experience when it comes to that. It's like, you are socialized differently depending on your gender, obviously, you know. I mean, obviously there is a biological difference. I don't think it's like, you know, the whole idea that women cannot compete in the same chess competitions as men is a little ridiculous to me.
That's wild. But
like, you know, there is differences, there's a lot of, like, different socialization, different expectations, and it's harder than you might think
and to I'm not write saying someone
of a different gender.
It's the same with every, like, conversation between two women, or between a man and a woman, or between two men. I'm not saying they're always the same, but there is a different vibe, there is a different way they talk to each other, and neither of my characters would casually throw in a bro, so like say bro just to make it up. It's say, not really it's not really no, it's just not really in character for them to do that. But that's been one difficulty, is just writing guys.
The long form project that I'm doing with the friend, let's see, so we got the three, like, main characters, two of them are non-binary, one of them is female, but then there's, like, three or four male characters besides that.
Oh, wow.
I told you, this is
a huge cast. So this is a new thing for you.
Yeah. No, I know, terrifying. Men. And I genuinely, I just don't write a lot of men because I don't have that experience. And no, this is something kind of controversial. I find it not weird. I start to
Over
question
then.
it when women are writing MLM relationships. I like to believe good intention of everyone, but how
And
would
no,
you
I
feel if a
understand.
man was writing a sapphic relationship? It's
Well,
like,
and I understand that point. Like, I agree, but I also think it depends on the context and the way the relationship is depicted.
oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I was like kind of controversial because I'm not saying like broad stroke, it's always not okay. I'm just saying I hesitate sometimes. I
Yeah,
want to know
exactly.
what it is before I just go. I'm like, okay.
That's a good point. But I also think, because in my novel, there are all three types of pairings, lesbian, straight, gay. But I think I've done it pretty well with all of
Yeah.
them.
No, and that's fair because that's like, general. It's like, I'm going to say something so controversial, and one of our dear listeners would be so upset by this. You read Red, White, and Royal Blue.
I literally was thinking just that. It's I'm
I said
glad
this
you
as
said
someone,
it.
I was going to say, I said this as someone who has like openly admitted I've read the book multiple times. I love that book because it, like a lot of the other plots that weren't included in the movie, and I'm so mad about it. The other plots with the whole like the idea of like it's okay to change your path, it's okay to not know your future, all of that stuff, like that's really important to me.
But
And so I read
that
it, but it's
book,
like
it
that is
gets kind
a
of It gets
oh
pretty
god.
explicit, and that gets uncomfortable when you think about how it's a woman writing this.
Yeah, exactly. It's like imagine a man writing that about like two women.
Yeah,
We'd
exactly. It's
I don't
weird.
know why that is viewed as like more gross than like women doing the same thing with two men. Like it's either way.
But that's what I'm just saying, is it's all about the depiction.
Yeah. No,
But
exactly.
I also think that book is gray area, because that book, yes, it does get pretty explicit, but it doesn't focus on that. It's not like excessive.
Yeah. No, that's exactly. It's like there's a reason I still read it and will still reread it because there is more to it than that. Although a lot of people don't believe that because this is where I get really concerned. It's like the straight women who read it for that are
Yeah,
like,
and like
is this our best choice?
well, and people get, if a book has like any sexual content in it, a lot of people get hung up on that.
It's like, okay, I'm gonna pull out ACOTAR with this one. Do you know how many sex scenes are in ACOTAR?
No.
None.
Yeah, wait, yeah, you did tell me about that.
The entire first book. People talk about the series like it's nothing but like, very explicit scenes. There's nothing in the entire first book. Because people get so focused on that. Like,
Yeah. It's like, it's even if it's not a significant amount of the like text, it's easy for that to draw your attention and only focus on that.
yeah.
Because, like, all right, I'm gonna just say it. With my novel, I do get worried about that because there is sexual content in it. But, like, to me at least, and to the person who I let read it, there is more to it than that. But I worry people won't catch that.
Yeah, I understand why that, why you worry about
And
that.
the content in it is, first of all, not that bad. Like, I talk it up, but it's not that bad. Secondly, every single time it happens, it's a part of the plot.
Yeah. No, I think that's the real line. Does it add to the plot or not? Pug
Exactly.
did
If it's,
not make
well,
a
and
lot of money.
honestly, that's just the difference between a good book and like erotica.
Yeah. It's like, I'm gonna use Red, White, and Royal Blue as an example again. There are those scenes, but for the most part, they add to the plot. The entire it's talking about like that. And the emotions that come with it. It's the development of their relationship. They start as like friends, quotation marks, and then like it's like a, oh, maybe there's actually feelings attached kind of thing. Like there, it is necessary for the development of the relationship. In ACOTAR,
Positively.
I'm pulling out the same examples again, but in ACOTAR, like it starts with it is again the development of their relationship, her kind of healing almost from like a past relationship at the beginning. And then later it's like, do we need all of these scenes? Do we?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when, if you're just trying to show that as like a display of the relationship, you can gloss over it. It can be fade to black. It can be three sentences.
Yeah. It's like, it's good. I don't think there's anything wrong with that to a degree. I think with that example, as she started writing it and people got more into it because of like the scandalous nature of it, she started writing to that because she knew it would sell.
That's a lot of it. Like, there's something to be said about that.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't have time to unpack. No, capitalism affecting art is sort of a big thing in all areas of art.
That'd be such a fun topic for another episode. I feel like next episode needs to be sillier, though. This is too, like, this is
pretty good episode. Oh, okay, because I had thought of a topic, but I also think it's about a 60% chance you won't want to talk about it, and I don't even want to all the way talk about it. But,
just to wrap up the writing thing, going back to the writing as emotion, I highly recommend it for any of our listeners, and I know a couple of our listeners, the two who I know are pretty consistent, have been doing this a lot. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm about to go attempt to write a letter to a friend, and that's all I'm going to say on here.
Processing your emotions. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's going to be letting out a lot of things from a lot of months.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so good for you. You may not even realize it, but like, I'm saying you, I'm speaking to the listener.
In general.
You specifically, mm-hmm. Yes. Like, you may not even realize it, but when those thoughts are swirling around your head, if you, like, start to feel like you're, you know, trapped in a spiral, or even if you don't, like, consciously realize how, like, stuck you are on those same thoughts, writing them on paper, it can be on your laptop, doesn't matter. Taking them out of your head can help. Like, mm-hmm. talking about them, for me, it's the same thing. You gotta, like, remove them from the brain. Turning your, like, pain, worries, emotions into art is a very fulfilling experience. It doesn't matter if you never show a single person, do it for yourself.
Exactly, and it's one of the healthiest ways to privately deal with your emotions, privately if you want to. And I think that even if you don't consider yourself a writer, if you just want to open your notes app and word vomit, it helps. I do that too as an actual writer.
Yeah.
I think
exactly.
Beautiful point to end on.
Yeah. So, thanks for listening. I've been Lily.
Thank you for listening. I can't believe we didn't do this topic earlier. I've been Eleanor. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.